Are we on?
We are on.
All right. Okay. So I'll let you introduce the Adam Schlesinger.
Yep. So welcome, everybody. Welcome to First Unitarian. We're Spare Parts, the house band. The first couple of songs we've got for you are, to be consistent with Bob's sermon, are musicians who died of COVID during the last 4 years. The first one is... His name is Adam Schlesinger. He played with a band called Fountains of Wayne. He died right the very first month when COVID first hit New York. This song is called Hat and Feet. I'm just a hat and feet. That's all that's left of me. A spot on the sidewalk, a mark on the street. I'm just a hat and feet. I'm just a hat and feet. You dropped a bomb on me. I didn't even see. Like a falling piano from out of the window. I'm just a hat and feet. I'm just a hat and feet. I'm just a sitting duck that ran out of luck. I'm the unhappy guy that didn't look up high. I started running when I saw it coming. It got faster and louder till I took a powder. Now I'm just a hat and feet. That's what's become of me. Flat on the sidewalk, stuck to the street. Now I'm just a hat. Just a hat and feet. Just a sitting duck that ran out of luck. I'm the unhappy guy that didn't look up high. I started running when I saw it coming. It got faster and louder till I took a powder. Now I'm just a hat and feet. That's all that's left of me. A spot on the sidewalk, a mark on the street. I'm just a hat and feet. I'm just a hat and...
Thank you. Our next mini eulogy for a musician who died early in the pandemic is for John Prine, the amazing folk singer-songwriter. And this is the last song that he recorded before he died. It's called I Remember Everything. So we thought that was very fitting.
I remember everything. Oops. Things I... Let me start that again. Microphone wandered away while I was getting ready. I've been down this road before. I remember every tree, every single blade of grass holds a special place for me. I remember every town and every hotel room, every song I ever sang on a guitar out of tune. I remember everything, things I can't forget. The way you turned and smiled at me on the nights that we first met. I remember every night, your ocean eyes of blue. How I miss you in the morning light, like roses miss the dew. I've been down this road before, alone as I can be, careful not to let my past go sinking up on me. Got no future in my happiness, though regrets are very few. Sometimes little tenderness was the best that I could do. I remember everything, things I can't forget. Swimming pools of butterflies that slipped right through the net. I remember every night, your ocean eyes of blue. How I miss you in the morning light, like roses miss the dew. How I miss you in the morning light, like roses miss the dew.
And now we're going to switch back to a living composer who lived through the pandemic and is right here to tell you about it. This is a song that Keith wrote early in the pandemic.
So it was after a couple months of remote school and cutting my own hair. This is the best I could do.
We were despondent with nowhere to go. It was the end of everything we've known. We'll learn to harvest what the garden's grown. The plague was coming and we had to stay home. We turned our castles to stone walls. We watched society's downfall. We started over when catastrophe called. We turned our castles to stone walls. We watched society's downfall. We started over when catastrophe called. We were surrounded with the folks we know. We lit some candles and put down the phone. There was some pleasure in that stately dome. The plague was coming and we had to stay home. We turned our castles to stone walls. We watched society's downfall. We started over when catastrophe called. We were despondent with nowhere to go. It was the end of everything we'd known. We'll learn to harvest what the garden's grown. The plague was coming and we had to stay home. La da 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 da.
Why do we gather on Sunday mornings? Well, it is about breathing rather than becoming better. It's about patience rather than perfection. It's about depth, not dominance. It's about attention, not improvement. And with that, we light this chalice, remembering our 75 years of existence past and looking forward to our 75 years and more to come in the future, remembering that we are both descendants and ancestors of congregations here at First Unitarian, congregations past and future. So let's worship together.
I invite you to rise in body or spirit for our singing together. It's number 1003 in the blue hymnal, if you need it. This is Where Do We Come From? What Are We? Where Are We Going? And we're going to invite you to kind of jam out with us a little bit.
Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? Where do we come from? Mystery, mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery. Mystery, mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery. What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going?
Mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery. Mystery, mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery.
Yeah, and we are here. You may be seated. I know you wanted to dance some more. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to First Unitarian. I'm Anna Watkins, and I am pleased to include you in this service. We're so glad you're here. Whether you're in the sanctuary or the fellowship hall, or possibly even in the family room, we're really happy to see you here. Families, we welcome you and your children this morning. There are lots of options for your comfort described in the order of service. And don't be shy about moving around to take advantage of them. Take a moment now to look around and see who else is here this morning. Yeah, look who's here. Yeah. People you know and those who are new to you. Know that others here are happy to see you, and that we are like a giant tapestry woven from many threads, including yours. All of us belong here in this place at this time, creating a beautiful human work of art. Welcome.
On March 16th, 2020, 4 years ago yesterday, the New Mexico Department of Health issued a public health emergency order limiting mass gatherings. The time of the quarantine had begun. But five days earlier, Reverend Angela and I had put our heads together and prayed for wisdom on how best to serve the congregation amidst the news and rumors of a virus. And when we lifted our heads, we were in agreement. We had to stop meeting in person. Angela and I, like everybody else, had absolutely no idea what was coming and how to deal with it. It was all unprecedented, so much unprecedented. Who knew that it was possible to get sick of the word unprecedented? Heard it all the time. Stopped having any meaning. And who knew, and 4 years ago to the week, our lives and the lives of everyone across the planet were upended. 4 years. And somehow it feels like we haven't stopped to consider what happened, to acknowledge what changed, and to mourn what we lost. Today's service is an attempt to do that, a small attempt, to pause and reflect on what happened to us and how we changed. Everyone's experience of COVID is different, but many folks had common experiences of suffering and loss. And let me name a few. The World Health Organization reports that more than 7 million people died worldwide from COVID since early 2020. More than 9,000 people died in New Mexico. Now that's only one half of 1% of the total population, but it sure felt like more when it was happening. When we were reading their names in the journal, we watched from behind our disinfected doors, and we knew that families were grieving, and sometimes it was our own families. There was a particular misery in the fact that many times, because of the quarantine protocols within healthcare centers, people could not visit sick family members. At best, they might see them through a window, at worst, a video call, or even less. It was cruel. Now, some folks actually thrived in the quiet solo time of the quarantine, but for many it was a time of excruciating loneliness and isolation. It landed particularly hard on our elders, who were more reliant on the visits from other people to keep their connections to the world. And I remember the terror we felt right here when a wave of the virus went through the assisted living center La Vida Llena. This is a place where many congregants from this church live, and as in many places, the residents were confined to their quarters and never saw a face in person, never had the comfort of human touch. Many folks saw their cognitive function decline because of this. If we were lucky, we had a pod, a group of people who agreed to keep each other safe, spend time together, but not all of us were that lucky. And the stress on families during this time was unfathomable. In a country that is always underinvested in childcare, schools closed, and working parents had to make their homes into both classrooms and offices. And bewildered and frustrated children and teens had to transition to online classes, and then hybrid classes, then back to online. Learning narrowed to staring at a screen for hours a day. Seniors in high school missed milestone events that they looked forward to for years. And this church, like most every church, had to change too. We went online with just a few days' notice. The campus went silent as people met in Zoom rooms or at a distance in a park sometimes. Now, I had done my ministerial internship at an online church, so I knew that online religious communities were possible, that could have meaning and power, but I also knew the limitations. For some people, church over Zoom was worse than nothing. The church lost 15% of its people in the first 2 years of the pandemic, and they still haven't come back. Many moved. Some passed on, and some found other things to do on Sunday mornings. We experience so many different kinds of loss. Some of it happened directly to us. Some of it we watched happen to other people. Loss became a part of the fabric of life. Now, in a few moments, Reverend Angela is going to lead us in a ritual to name and acknowledge our losses. And this won't complete the grieving process, far from it. But perhaps this ritual will help us move the grieving process farther along towards healing and perhaps even closure. Blessed be all of us.
Song is by Taylor Swift. She actually wrote it when her mother was fighting a cancer diagnosis. It's called Soon You'll Get Better. But in the context of the pandemic, I send this song out to anyone who is struggling with long COVID or knows somebody that wishing for better medicines to treat that and to bring people back to health. The buttons on my coat were tangled in my head. In the doctor's office lighting, I didn't tell you I was scared. That was the first time we were there, holy orange bottles. Each night I pray to you, desperate people find faith. So now I pray to Jesus too. And I say to you, who soon you'll get better. Ooh, soon you'll get better. Ooh, you'll get better soon. 'Cause you have to. Just pretend it isn't real. I'll paint the kitchen neon. I'll brighten up the sky. I know I'll never get it. There's not a day that I won't try. And I say to you, soon you'll get better.
Get better soon, 'cause you have to.
to.
So you'll be invited to take part in a moving meditation this morning, but let's go ahead and start with a breath. And go ahead and check in with those bodies for a second. Where are you holding the tension? Shoulders? Face? Arms? Back? Legs? Take another breath and let that melt, even if it's only 1%. And then another breath and soften a bit more. In a moment, when the music begins, you're invited to go down one of the side aisles to the back of the sanctuary and take a stone from the basket. And then as you carry the stone down the center aisle, to really feel the weight of it, which represents the weight of something you've lost in the pandemic. And then when you come to the front, you can release it into one of the bowls on the platform. There's one on this side and one on that side, and travel back down the side aisles to your seat. If you like, as you're letting the stone go, you can say a word out loud, or just to yourself, naming the thing or even offering it as a blessing, offering it a blessing as you release it. And if you can't come forward physically or you prefer not to, which is also just fine, you can also do this as a visualization, just imagining the thing you've lost, holding it in your mind's eye, imagining that it has some form that you can hold, and imagining just letting it go. And at the end, Bob and I also pick up a stone and carry them forward, symbolizing any losses that remain unspoken or unexpressed. So when you're ready, after the music starts, I invite you to take part.
This is another Taylor Swift song that she specifically wrote for the pandemic. The first part of the song is about her grandfather who fought in World War II and the kinds of things that you see that you cannot speak about. And the second part of the song is about the healthcare workers in the hospitals the first couple of years of the pandemic and how hard it was for them and the things that were hard to speak about. It's called Epiphany. Your hand through plastic now. some things that you just can't speak about. Only 20 minutes to sleep, but you dream of some epiphany. Just one single glimpse of relief to make some sense of what you've seen. With you I serve, with you I fall down, down. What you breathe in, what you breathe in. With you I fall down, down. What you breathe in, what you breathing out, out. Only 20 minutes to sleep, but you dream of some epiphany. Just one single glimpse of relief to make some sense of what you see.
Let's lift up some prayers in our congregation. I have my pastoral list, and I know you bring your own lists and your hearts and minds. So I invite you to call to mind the people and places who are in your prayers, and speak them aloud as the chime rings if you wish so that we can hold them with you. All of these we lift up. And to these I add the name of Wayne Bauer, whose memorial service will be this Thursday at 1 p.m. here in the sanctuary. We hold his wife, Kate Harrington, in our love. We note the passing of Jacqueline Miller and hold her son, Evan, in our hearts as he mourns the loss of this matriarch and lover of words and friend in their family. May light perpetual shine upon Wayne and Jacqueline. I lift up prayers for this congregation, prayers of celebration at our resilience and at the joy in the 75th anniversary kickoff party last night. Definitely over 100 people there. It was beautiful and joyful to be together. I give thanks for that. We keep in our minds and in our thoughts people suffering from war and violence in Palestine, in Israel, in Ukraine, in other places too, places like Sudan, where 3 million children are displaced by war right now, 700,000 facing hunger. And even people facing violence right here in Albuquerque. The poet and activist and wise woman Aurora Levins Morales says we need to make not just points, but constellations together. So we give thanks for the blessings of our lives. We give thanks for the gift of this day. And we give thanks for the points of light that make a constellation and more in this world. We give thanks for the opportunity to count ourselves among them in acts of love and peace building and service. All of these things we lift up as our common prayer this morning. And we pray that we may make our lives a blessing upon others through our manner of being in this world. Amen. And peace be with you.
In 2016, people learned a shocking truth. Progressive people learned a shocking truth. Despite 8 years of having a black president, there are still many more people who support sexism and racism and religious bias, and they vote. It was called the Great Reveal. Our belief that we had grown more liberal as a country was proven wrong in the most appalling ways. By 2020, we were getting used to being disappointed by the new normal, but the pandemic hit, and it was its own version of the Great Reveal. We learned just how vulnerable our supply chains are. We were forced to see the disparity when we saw which workers really were essential and how they were paid and treated. For example, I'll admit to being one of the people who took grocery stores for granted. There are dozens to choose from all around, and they almost have exactly what I want. I didn't give much thought to the lives of people who worked there, and I certainly did not appreciate that what they do literally allows me to stay alive. It's just eating, but it's that dramatic. And their average salary in Albuquerque is $19.50 an hour. Now, I had the luxury of having my groceries delivered. The person stocking the shelves had to be in the store, stocking the shelves around other people, risking exposure. And as I mentioned before, schooling was upended. Teachers, already under-resourced and overcommitted, had to learn to teach classes over Zoom while they were teaching classes over Zoom. The work they did was heroic. Medical clinicians of all kinds endured the anxiety of the risk of exposure, along with having to do their work, all their work, in full personal protective equipment. It's really hard to do that. And the expectations on them quickly became unrealistic. I'm so proud of the nurses' union in Buffalo, New York, who went on strike during the pandemic, and that may sound counterintuitive, but the primary issue of the strike was not pay. The primary issue was their patient loads. The nurses were fed up with having too many patients to look after and having to neglect one patient's care in order to attend to another patient. The nurses won that strike, but hospitals across the country still rely on unsafe staffing ratios to squeeze money out of the healthcare system. And we saw that, as with so much else, race was a driver of whether a person would get sick or not, or be hospitalized or not, or die or not. Racism trickles down into many things that impact person wellness. The stress of experiencing racism takes a toll on the body. It's been linked with obesity, heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure. People of color are more likely to work in the service industry, jobs that can't be done remotely. People of color are less likely to have access to health care. So it's no surprise that people of color were twice as likely as white folks to get so sick that they had to be hospitalized. Of course, in 2021, the existence of racism is no surprise, right? But we keep seeing new ways that racism plays out. And a public health emergency showed us how the system fails people of color. Close to home, here in New Mexico, we saw the impact of COVID on the Navajo Nation. Despite stay-at-home orders, in the first six months of the pandemic, half of the deaths from COVID were at the Navajo Nation. Half of the deaths of the pandemic in New Mexico were in the Navajo Nation. Navajo Nation does not make up half the population of New Mexico. And again, the crisis cast light on conditions that had already existed. Inadequate housing that led to overcrowding, housing without access to running water, and lack of access to health care, all these add up to catastrophe. And we also saw the results of an incompetent federal administration at war with the scientists, and I'll just leave that right there. Now, I know that what I'm saying may sound more political than spiritual, but for many folks, watching all these things led to feelings of despair, to feelings of helplessness, and even to feeling that somehow they were complicit with these injustices. We are citizens of this country, right? And these feelings were and are overlaid on the grief that I spoke about in my first homily. That is a complicated and challenging place to be spiritually. That cocktail of emotions challenged our sense of hope and had us questioning our own resilience. And these are indeed spiritual problems. So we're here today to consider the spiritual within the political.
Michael Stipe wrote this next song very early in the pandemic. I think it came out in April of 2020. No time for love like now. And you can hear the cry out of the loneliness and the uncertainty that we all knew. Whatever waiting means in this new place, I am waiting for you.
Breezy, no time for arguments, no time for love like now. There's no time in the bardo, no time in the in between, no time for love like now. There's no time for dancing, no time for undecideds, no time for love like now. Where did this all begin to change? The lockdown memories can sustain this glistening, hanging free fall. I turned away from the glorious sight. Psalms and thresholds whisper a sweet prayer sigh. When did this all begin to change? The lockdown memories can sustain this glistening, hanging, free fall. I turned my head and cried, whatever waiting means in this new place, I am waiting for you. Your voice is echoing.
Here we are. Sorry. I jumped my cue. Mortifying. More bell, more cowbell. All right. Now that I've destroyed the mood. Here we are, 4 years later. We're now in a permanent pandemic. The virus keeps evolving and the vaccines lag behind. The current version seems less lethal, but with each round of having COVID, the likelihood of getting long COVID increases. I've had the virus 3 times. and I know my body is not the same. I, like so many other people, just don't know how it's not the same. And there is a sense that we're all just exhausted with all of it. And now many folks vacillate between a kind of denial or a state of constant anxiety. And our government seems to be shrugging its metaphorical shoulders. You know, the reactions during the mandates, during the worst of it, were interesting to me when they weren't totally infuriating. The pandemic did beg the question, what makes life worth living? And I have a certain sympathy with people who just couldn't stand being alone, who felt like singing in groups was a core spiritual practice that needed to be done at any cost, who wanted to travel to see their families during the worst of it. Now, I'm not agreeing with their positions, but I understand the urges. So much of the pandemic hit right at the core as some of the best things about being human: being together, being touched, seeing each other's faces, making or enjoying music in a group. We needed to sacrifice these things to get through it, but what a terrible sacrifice it was. And there's another source of exhaustion. Somehow, over the course of the pandemic, for some, facts stopped mattering. Science stopped mattering. And this aligns with a partisan split. I could read you the statistics, but it's predictable. Now, again, I want to take a compassionate view of the folks who aren't keeping their vaccines current, even if I totally disagree with that approach. When people become suspicious of the government or the healthcare system, they are partly right. The government has at times lied to the public. The experience of trying to navigate our insurance system to get the care we need can, understandably, breed cynicism. But there's a saying I like: even a broken clock is right twice a day. And that makes it hard, that being right twice a day makes it hard to help move people from a blanket dismissal of how science works to a nuanced ability to weigh evidence. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch people make decisions that have bad consequences for themselves and for the people around them. And it seems like everybody I know has a family member who makes bad decisions based on bad information. You know, one of the most common questions I get as a minister is, "Hey, Reverend Bob, my brother, uncle, father has gone off the deep end. How do I stay in relationship with them when they have a separate reality?" That's a hard one to answer. So there is plenty that is hard about this new space and time, but I also want to talk about the good. The imperfect good, to be sure, but the good. After the 4 years we had, we are changed. And the first lesson is that there is no going back to how things were before. And in that, we have lost parts of the past that we are right to mourn. We've certainly lost some of our innocence. But if we are going back, if we are not going back, what does going forward look like? Before she became current president of the Unitarian Universalist Association, I asked Reverend Sophia Betancourt what we needed to tell our congregations about the changes that were happening. And her response was, you have to tell your congregation that not only will the old ways no longer work, the old ways also didn't work for a lot of people when they were the present ways. Her message is that we need to embrace the changes, even if they make us uncomfortable, even if we're not quite sure how we have to change. Now, I, for one, am like really glad with our new comfort doing meetings and worship online. It's pretty amazing that an enormous group of people, many of whom don't consider themselves very technology friendly, learned the skills of video calls. And I love the hybrids. I love that we are figuring out how to meet with some folks in the room and other folks online. This allows for greater inclusion. It's imperfect inclusion, but it is an inclusion. For example, during worship, each approach has its advantages. The people in the room get the energy, the ability to enjoy physical proximity, participation in the ritual. The people online, though, are able to chat through the chat bar throughout the entire service and to name their joys and concerns specifically for others to see and for others to respond to compassionately. So two different ways, better and some good in different ways. And related to our imperfect inclusion, I feel like I see a deeper understanding of the ways that we can be inadvertently ableist. Now, ableism is the exclusion of people who have mental and physical disabilities. So, for example, in this church, people are much more supportive of folks who are immunocompromised themselves or who live with immunocompromised people. When they request that we put on our masks, we put on our masks. But I don't want to pat ourselves on the back. Like I said, it's an imperfect inclusion. But I see us making greater efforts to remove the barriers that might exclude folks with disabilities. Being able to meet on Zoom welcomes people who don't like to drive at night, who can't drive at night. Using microphones for all the gatherings welcomes people who have hearing loss, like myself. Conversations about supporting neurodivergence are now the norm, not the exception. Again, it's imperfect because we are limited in our resources and our spaces and our energy, but I think we've made a lot of progress in the last 4 years. And we learned about things that can be solutions for national problems well into the future, for issues unrelated to a public health crisis, like the child tax credit. This was part of the American Rescue Plan that the current administration passed in 2021. While it was happening, the child tax credit lifted more than 5 million children out of poverty. 5 million children out of poverty. It has since lapsed, but we now know that it worked and it can work again. So talk about a moral imperative. Getting kids out of poverty in the richest country in the world seems like job one. And I think we can point to the pandemic for the new activism among laborers. Now, I admit, I don't like this about myself, but I did have some schadenfreude when some employers started saying, well, no one wants to work anymore. I'm sorry, Charlie, it's not that no one wants to work anymore, it's they just don't want to work at your low-paying and abusive job. So there is, in fact, a legitimate labor shortage right now, but that has more to do with our immigration policies and the way that we do job training than with anybody's motivation to work. And organized labor is back. I am proud to say that. Did you know that the Starbucks on Rio Grande is unionized? You should get your coffee there. And after years of refusing to negotiate a contract and spending $240 million to bust the unions, Starbucks has finally agreed to negotiate in good faith. And the auto workers are finally getting their share of the massive profits that the car makers are generating. And I hope that the essential workers, the grocery store employees, and the healthcare givers and the teachers start getting paid appropriately for the contribution that they make to society. The ratio of the contribution they make to society, keeping things running, to how they get paid and the benefits is way out of whack. And the pandemic made people rethink their relationship to work, and I think some healthier priorities are emerging. And finally, we are learning to be social again. Like Angela mentioned, last night over 100 people gathered in our social hall for our first event of our 75th year anniversary. We had so many people in there that we had to bring in chairs from the sanctuary. And it was a potluck, and there was so much food, the tables were covered with it. And I heard from so many people that they missed this kind of gathering. After our years of being in the involuntary hermitage, we have a special joy from being together. We appreciate it more than we did before, the being together. And I wonder, maybe I think that in this fourth year of the pandemic, it's as simple as that. After all this loss, grief, bewilderment, witnessing disturbing things, it's as simple as the fact that we are on this journey together. We can carry each other and lighten our loads, or we can try and go it alone. But I think we have a new thoughtfulness about the value that we hold for each other. We can become a new kind of church, a new religious community, one that loves justice for sure, but also one where after all this loss, all this grief, we are a community where we love each other. We can be a community where we love each other. May it be so.
May it be so. We devote this special time to consider how and what we have gained through our resilience, creativity, and the loving gestures from many others. Our offering ritual gives us a special opportunity to show gratitude for our church, its inspiration and service to us as individuals, and for nurturing a beloved community. To carry out our work, we also engage with organizations whose mission resonates with our own. Our Change for the Future partner this quarter is United Voices for Newcomer Rights. This organization works in partnership with newcomers, empowering them to cultivate educational, economic, cultural, social, and physical and mental health resources. You may mark a pew envelope CFF or place coins in the basket to benefit this organization. We will now gratefully accept the offering.
On the day we are together again, on the day we are together again, I will pull you in close like a hoop with no end. On the day we are together again, we will share the same table again.
Yeah. songs for the ones we love who are gone.
Thank you so much for your generosity. Thank you on behalf of the congregation and on behalf of our Change for the Future partner. Thank you, ushers. We have some invitations to share with you. You want to go first?
Sure. Okay. Today at 12:30, we will have Journeys to Unitarian Universalism gathering. So let's explore the variety of paths that brought us to this congregation. What has been your spiritual journey? Those new to First U are especially encouraged to attend. Snacks provided. Today at 12:30 p.m. in the Memorial Hall.
Free snacks. Memorial Hall, just across the courtyard. You're also invited to join me and Bob for the Repentance and Repair class that's going to start this Saturday. That's going to be from 1 to 4, that first session on Saturday. Repentance and repair. How can somebody make things right when they have done harm to someone else? What about when an institution does harm? Or a whole country? That's what we'll explore in this three-part workshop. It's free. It's based on the book on repentance and repair by Dania Ruttenberg, which you do have to read before the first gathering, so get right on that. And you can register for that by scanning the QR code in your order of service. If that's not going to work for some reason, just come and tell me and Bob you'd like to join us. We'd be glad to have you.
Okay. And next Sunday at 12:30 p.m., EarthWeb will host Terry Owen of the Sierra Club. He will present a talk about the Inflation Reduction Act, IRA, the single largest government investment in energy and mitigating climate change. This one-hour presentation will describe why the IRA is a win for climate and how it can be an important financial aid for homeowners. Food will be provided.
So that sounds like a session of good news plus food next Sunday at 12:30. That seems good. All right. Also, you're invited to a Sol y Canto concert. Tickets are available now. The concert's going to be on April 20th. This is a really fun group, really good music, and all of the proceeds are going to benefit our after-school tutoring and ESL programs, which is just so great. Such good programs. So check that out. You can purchase tickets on the giving page on the church's website, or you can talk to Susan about it, and she'll tell you how to get a ticket. Okay, and lastly, after the service, Bob and I are going to carry these containers of stones and water out to the courtyard, and we're going to pour them out on the big old cottonwood there in the center, like washing away our griefs, just letting them flow into new growth. And if you want to come out and witness that, you are also invited to join us out there. And then we hope you'll stay for coffee hour, which is just down the hall in the social hall. And there's even a chat table if you like a little bit of a structured conversation, if you're an awkward mingler, as I am when I don't have a job. And here's a conversation starter for you. What do you think is the most valuable thing we've gained because the pandemic happened? What do you think is the most valuable thing we've gained because the pandemic happened? I invite everyone to rise in body or spirit now. Let's greet each other with a gesture of peace before we part.
And I invite you to grab that turquoise hymnal, number 1020, whoa, ya, ya. Where are we going? Heaven knows where we're going, but we know within. Here we go.
We are going. Heaven knows where we are.
Go in peace and place love at the center of everything that you do.
For today, 'cause oh, I know that there'll be better days.
Waking up in California, these clouds, they won't go away. Every day is like another storm, yeah, just trying not to go insane. In the city, shining so bright, so many nights, so many dark days. Anytime I feel the paranoia, I close my eyes and I pray.
Oh, I know that there'll be better days.
Shed another tear for today.
'Cause oh, I know that there'll be better days.
Waking up on the new year, got the past a million miles away. Been waking up with a new fear, but I know it'll wash away. Whatever you do, don't worry about me, 'cause I'm thinking about you. Don't worry about us. In the morning, everything can change, yeah, and time will tell you it does.
Oh, that there'll be better days. Oh, that sunshine about to come my way. May we never, ever shed another tear for today. 'Cause oh, I know that there'll be better days.
Ever shed another tear for today. 'Cause oh, I know there will be better days.